You see, we're about to face a new year. And we don't know what this year is going to bring. We don't know what problems or what victories, what good things are going to come or what bad things are going to come. But one thing we do know, we can trust God. The Bible makes that very clear. You see, we are blindfolded to the future. We don't know what the future is going to be. There's a lot of people who like to say, well, we heard it was going to be the end of the world in 2000, what, this year, 2012. It's going to be the end of the year, December 21st. The world is going to be gone. But here's my question. Can you really trust God? Just as we are blindfolded to the future, the one thing we have is certain is we have a God who guides us by His divine direction. I want us to look at this. Let's go ahead and bring in the guys who are going to help us, okay? Let's bring in, okay, help get in. Okay, guys, line up all the way down here. All the way down toward the front. There we go. Just kind of spread out there a little bit. All right, we have Tim back here in the back. Tim's blindfolded, and Tim's going to represent the Christian. Okay, it's good that he's representing the Christian. Amen. These other guys represent the obstacles that's going to come in our life. There will be obstacles, won't there? They're going to be challenges. They're going to be difficulties. They're going to come in our life. All right. What I'm going to do is I'm going to instruct Tim to move forward when I'm ready. Not yet, Tim. And then I want you to watch as he comes to his first obstacle. How's he going to get around it? He can't see. He's blindfolded to the future. He knows nothing in front of him. Okay, Tim, start moving forward. To the left a little bit. Left. All right. You're doing good. You got past your first obstacle already. That's good. That's a good obstacle, too. Move over to the left a little more. A little more. A little more. Okay, now keep coming. Keep coming. You're doing good. You're doing good. Up, turn to the left. Come to the left. Come to the left. Come to the left. See, you bumped that obstacle. That's what happens, all right, when you're not listening. All right, keep moving. Keep moving. Keep moving. Don't run too fast. Don't go fast. To the right a little bit. All right, now go straight. All right. To the left. You're hitting another obstacle. Okay, keep moving. You're doing good. You're going good. To the left. Other left. Okay, yeah, there you go. All right, left. All right. Keep moving. Go forward. Left. There we go. All right. Would you agree with me? You got through the obstacle course. Okay, right? Thank you, Tim. You can take your blindfold off now. You're a good Christian. Now, what's interesting about this whole thing is as he's moving forward, you know what he's doing? He's trusting my voice. That's what he's doing. He's trusting my voice. Because really, I mean, I guess we could have had like a guy with a gun standing there or with a knife, or it could have been something, you know, really violent, or it could have been something that could have really hurt him spiritually. But he listened to my voice. Now, here's what I'm trying to say. We need to listen to God's voice. We are blindfolded to the future. We don't know what 2013 is going to bring. But we do know that we can trust God. The Apostle Paul, in this passage of Scripture, without reading the entire chapter, though if I'd read the whole chapter, it would have been worth it this morning. But you read the chapter, it's very, very interesting. Paul was now a prisoner for preaching the gospel. He was now sent to by a centurion who was commanded, he was put under his guard to take him to Italy. And he had other prisoners as well that was under his under his protective order to take them to Italy. And in going there, they were to get on some ships, and they got on the one ship, and prior to getting on the ship, Paul sensed that there was going to be a problem, a real dangerous problem. And it could be to the place where they could either lose life or ship or both. And the Bible said that Julius, who was this centurion, listened to the shipmaster rather than to the Apostle Paul. They got on the ship. They were sailing across. They hit the winds. And when they hit this wind, all of a sudden the ship could not drive anymore. And now it was under the subject of the wind. And so they were having problems. And they could not get to their destination, going to Italy. And sure enough, they came to a place where now the ship, they lightened the load to try to get the ship moving forward. They couldn't, and things fell apart from there on out. And now they're in a shipwreck. And you know, Paul knew that something wasn't right about this, but he still had to go and trust God. And you know, all of us have to learn the lesson of trusting God. It's not easy. I don't know what 2013 is going to bring, and neither do you. And very few of us knew what 2012 was going to bring. And now, historically, we look back and we can say, well, this has either been a good year, a bad year, whatever the case is. But what God is saying is we can trust Him through whatever storm we might face in our life, whatever problem we might face. But we must move forward, look forward. And so my message this morning is looking forward for Him. Now keep this in mind. I'm saying we need to look forward for God. Because as we look forward down the road and trusting God, I believe there are three key essentials we find that Paul dealt with as he was facing an uncertain future, just as we will. I want you to notice very carefully the three essentials. Verses 21 through 23 gives us the very first one. And you have notes in there. No, you don't have notes. I didn't give you any notes this week. Is to claim the promises of God. Claim the promises of God. How many of you agree with me that it would be important that we claim the promises of God? Amen? I just want you to know this, that if you're going to face 2013 with great understanding of trusting God, you and I are going to have to learn to claim the promises of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, it starts with claiming God's word. I don't know about you, but do you realize how powerful this book that you and I have in our hand? This is God's word. Paul had absolute assurance that he could trust God's word. And by the way, just to let you know, God does not lie to you. God will not lie to you. In fact, Titus chapter 1, verse 2 says, God who cannot lie. God is not going to lie in His word. This word is trustworthy, and I know that it is so trustworthy that it is more necessary than the very food that I eat. Job said it like this, neither have I gone back from the commandments of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food. In other words, you know, if you have to forego something, if you have to forego a meal to read your Bible, it would be more important than to forego the Bible to eat a meal. And what God is saying is, it is so essential that we learn, if we're going to claim the promises of God, that we claim them based on God's divine, authoritative, inerrant, infallible book. We know that. We know that what God says is so. Someone has said that in the Bible there are 365 promises, one for every day. And I read another place where they said there are 600 and some. So whether there's 600 or 300 or whatever, one thing is certain, you can claim God's promises in His word. When God says something, He means it. And what I'm saying is, while we don't know what's going to happen in the future, one thing we can claim the promises of God based on the divine word of God.
I know that God's word is going to take me through whatever it is. And Paul, though he was knew that he was in danger, and though he knew that things weren't going well, and though he knew that there were difficulties that he was facing, one thing is certain, he knew the promises of God and what God said. And today, you and I, we have a Bible that is like a light that takes us through a darkened world. In fact, in Psalm 119, verse 105, the Bible says this, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." What does that mean? Well, in the ancient world, they didn't have flashlights like we have. The other day, I was at Costco. You know how they're always pushing all these big, buy all this stuff? They had one of these lights, you know, it was like 4 million candle watt, you know. You know, it's the kind of, you know, you turn on the day and it looks bright in the day, you know. And they want you to buy it, you know. And so, you know, they didn't have it in those days. Here's how they did it. If it was dark and they were to go out in a path, they would take and they would literally put candles on their feet. And that way they could only see just a small portion in front of them. And what God is saying is, he doesn't light the pathway wide open as you would like if you were landing an airplane and they kind of light the entire pathway. God says it's just one step at a time. That's it. And that's where the trust comes in. Just like with Tim, one step at a time. Turn left, turn right, go left, go right. Move forward, go around. God is one. We can trust his promises because his promises is always going to lead us in the right path. You do realize that God is on your side. Sometimes people get the idea, you know, well, I don't know, God just wants to rob me of all my joy. No, God wants to give you all of his joy. He's not stealing your joy away. He's trying to protect you from danger. And so what God is saying is that we can claim his promises, and his promises are always wrapped around his word. And because his word is so powerful that I can claim his word, and I know that, not only that, but I can claim the witness to the word, God's witness. Here we find that the Apostle Paul, as the Bible says, that he was witnessed to by the angel, the Bible says. And this angel was a witness to God's powerful work in his life. This angel of God, can I call your attention? Look, if you would, back to Acts chapter 27 again, please. Let me call your attention to verse 23. Notice what the Bible says. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." What God says is this. He said, I sent an angel for Paul to let Paul know that he's going to get through this. But the emphasis is not on the angel, and that's where we would get hung up. You know, we're like, man, you know, we each have an angel? What are you talking about, Pastor? God has given us a better witness than an angel. He's given us his word. Amen. The word of God is the witness to what God says, the power of God, the ability of what God says to lead and guide us and all of those things. But what I want us to notice is this. It's the God who I am. In other words, notice what he says here in verse 23. He says, whose, the angel of God, whose I am. Let me ask you a question. Can that be said of you? Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Is he your Lord? Are you 100% sure when you die you're going to heaven? You see, it's not because you're a Baptist. It's because you have made a personal decision to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. The Bible said that this changed the life of Paul, and Paul became a tremendous testimony to the power of God and to the witness of God and to the ancient world. And you know, we need to be that kind of witness to our world. This angel and Paul was a witness to a confused world in the first century, and so should we be in the 21st century. We're going to face some times that are uncertain. And in the future, we don't know about it. And yes, we're blindfolded to those things. But one thing is certain. We have a God that can take us through. And a God that gives us promises. And a God that gives us a divine word we can trust in. And as we claim His promises, we can be a witness for Him in this sin-cursed world that we live in. And so I want to ask you this. What about the promises of God for you? Have you personalized them? I don't know about you, but I tried this. I said, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do what you asked me to do to claim your promises. And by the way, I found out when I claim God's promises, He always takes care of me. Listen, He'll never lead you to any place that He Himself will not go with you. And that's such a blessing. So if we're going to face 2013 and looking forward for Him, the very first thing we really need to understand, something very essential, is that we claim the promises of God. But then there's another essential I find in this passage, that we consecrate ourselves to the plan of God. That we consecrate ourselves to the plan of God. Now, God has a plan. You do realize that God's plans are always right. Amen? Always right. God has a plan. He has a plan for your life and my life. My plan that God has for me right now is to be right where I am. God has a plan for your life. Now, the word consecrate means to submit to or to yield to. It has the idea that I'm yielding to it. Now, my wife and I, we were married December 14th, 1980. Surprise, I remembered, huh? And when we got married, we submitted to one another in holy matrimony, as they say, right? So we got married, and we consecrated ourselves together. Now here's what God is saying. We need to consecrate our purpose, our plan, our life to God's. This is not like, it's not like me saying, okay, God, let me see if I can fit you into my schedule, or God, let me see if I can fit you in. You know, like sometimes people say, well, you know, I'll try to get down to church if, you know, if I have time, but, you know, I've got races next week, and I've got this next week, and I got that next week. See, no, it doesn't work like that. We need to put ourselves under God's plan. We adjust our lives into what God wants. And so one of the keys in 2013 to be a great year is to consecrate ourselves to the plan of God. What are some things that God has? Well, we notice in this verse number 24, that there are some mandated appointments. I don't know what those appointments are yet. Sometimes God lets me in, sometimes He doesn't. But there's some mandated appointments. Paul had one. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, Paul had an appointment. He was to go and he was going to stand before Caesar. That's what the Bible says. that Paul had this mandated appointment that he was going to stand there, and he knew that wherever he was in all of this, that though that appointment was down when he got off the ship, that though the ship was falling apart, everything was just seemed to go crazy, he knew that God had a mandated appointment for him. Can I remind you of this morning, that God has a mandated appointment for every one of us too. There are some appointments He has for us in this life. Some things that God wants to do in our lives. Some places where God wants to put us. And sometimes what happens is when the winds begin to blow contrary to our comfort and to our convenience, here's what happens. We say, well, you know what? I'm just going to throw all that off. I'm just going to forget about God. I'm just going to ignore God altogether and go my own way and get the pressure off, when we don't realize we're just putting more pressure on ourselves. God has a plan for our life. And when we walk in God's will, He will always guide us to this divinely appointed mandate where He wants me to be. Now, I'm going to be honest with you, every one of us, we have an appointment waiting for us, whether we realize it or not. And in Hebrews, here's what the Bible says. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Every one of you have a mandated appointment. One day you're going to die. You can't get out of this world alive. We're all going to die. And God is reminding us of the fact that, maybe 2013 might be our year. And I'm not trying to be, irreverent or disrespectful or trying to be, sound drab. But I just want to tell you this. We don't know. We don't have a lease on life. We don't know what the future is going to bring, but we can trust God. And what God is saying is that if we have a mandate appointment, if it's our time, we better make sure that we're ready. And God says the way we're to get ready is by knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. You see, that's what it means as we consecrate to the plan of God. I'm going to yield myself to God. God, whatever you want me to do next year. You want me to take this job? You want me to live here? You want me to do this, do that, whatever. God, I just want to obey you. You are more important to me than anything else. And that's what Paul was saying. Lord, I just want to go where you want me to go. And if you want me to go down this ship, I'm ready to go. Lord, if you want me to meet Caesar, I'm ready to go. Whatever it is. But he knew that God had a plan for him to meet Caesar. It wasn't long after that, though, Paul died. So there's a mandated appointment, but second of all, in God's plan, there's a miraculous testimony. If you notice in this story, and I want to encourage you to go home and read this chapter, when you get to the place where Paul stands and begins to give a testimony for Christ, from the rest of the chapter, guess who is now in charge of the ship? Paul is. Because at that point, nobody could take charge. The only person who knew really anything about what was going to take place was God. And Paul represented the Lord, and Paul wanted to be a testimony to those on the ship. And he says, you should have listened to me, but I can assure you that based on God's word, no one is going to die. No harm will be happen to any life. The ship will be destroyed, but God will take care of the people. And the last verse we read, the chapter, is that everyone was saved. That's a miraculous testimony. Because Paul wasn't trying to somehow or another put himself forward. He wanted to realize that the power of God was able to deliver and save. You know, the power of God's able to take care of us. I heard a message several years ago in verse 44. And here's what it says, and here's I'll read the verse and then I'll give you the message. Here it is. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. The title of the message was Some on Boards and Some on Broken Pieces. Sometimes I think we feel that way, don't we? We feel like our lives are nothing more than we're like in a shipwreck and we're on boards and broken pieces. That maybe that's where we are. We're out here floating in some sea of confusion and the storms have been blowing and all of those things. And you know, all I can do is get me a piece or a board to hang on to and I'm going to get through it. But let me assure you, you can trust God in the storms. You may feel that way from time to time, but the miraculous testimony is that God is able to take care of his people. And he'll take care of you too. And I really believe that that's how big God really is. The witness that Paul had was to the integrity and God and to God himself of integrity and godliness, that he knows that God's able to take care of these things. So what's the ingredients we need? Well, and the essentials. Well, number one, we need to claim the promises of God. Number two, we need to consecrate ourselves to the plan of God. But number three, write this one down. Here's the last one. We need to cleave to the power of God. We need to cleave to the power of God. You know, we had going back to the marriage ceremony. We talked about getting married, and I always do this. I always read that passage of scripture. All of you have heard it. When a man shall leave his father and mother and shall, what's the next word? Cleave unto his wife. And I did a little study on that because I was trying to help. One thing I like to do is trying to help couples get married, I don't like to just marry and just put people together. I believe in counseling people and letting them know what they're getting into and what the Bible says and how to have a Christian home. And I just think that's the right thing to do. And that's how I do it. And so I spent at least 5 hours counseling with couples and answering questions and going through things and giving reading assignments and things like that. So I try to help people. And I did a little study on that cleaving. And I found out that cleave means to weld. The idea of welding, when you weld, you know, you take two pieces of metal, you put them together, and I guess you put kind of a little spot metal in the middle, and they kind of glue together. And if you ever want to take them apart, it's impossible. Because you can't tell what part is what. And the idea is, when we cleave unto the Lord, that's the way it should be with our life, just like it is with our marriage. That we should be so clung to God, and that we're so wrapped up in who He is and His power, that as we cleave to Him, it's not going to matter to us who's the president or what's going to happen next year or what's going to happen 10 years from now. All we know is God is our Savior.
Amen.
And that's what Paul said. And he knew that. And you say, how do you know that? Look at verse 25, because there's some powerful words in verse 25. And if you're not careful, you're going to focus on the shipwreck and you're going to miss the verse. Look at verse 25 with me, please. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I, what's the next word? Believe God. There it is. There's the first essential. If you're going to cleave to the Lord, you have to believe God. We have to believe God. Do you believe God today? Now, this statement is a very powerful one. You see, when we believe God, nothing else really matters. When we believe God, that means that we put all our allegiance, all of our reliance, all of our trust, all of our dedication, we put everything towards Him. That's what it means to believe God. In other words, I'm staking my eternity. If I'm to die today, I'm saying the reason why I'm going to heaven is not because I'm a good person, because I'm not. It's because Jesus Christ is my Savior. I believe God. What do you believe today? But have you ever noticed something, Christian? It's a lot easier to believe God for our eternity than it is to believe God for our present life. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, I have no problem believing that I'm going to go to heaven because of what Jesus, He already did it for me. It's all take care of me. But now I'm afraid about what I'm going to face tomorrow. I mean, I don't worry about eternity. I'm worried about tomorrow. Well, you know what God says? Stop worrying about tomorrow. Just start thinking about me today. We believe God in everything, not just for eternity, but for tomorrow too. Amen. Let me tell you how big God is. You ever thought about how big He is? Well, Psalm 19:1 says this, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork." God's a creator. All this stuff didn't happen by a big bang. If it'd be any bang, it'd be God spoken. Bang, it happened. Okay. But let me tell you how big God is. We live in what is called the Milky Way galaxy. The Milky Way galaxy is huge. The Milky Way galaxy is 100,000 light years from one side to another. 100,000. Now, you might say, well, what's a light year? Well, if you take the speed of light, it travels at 186,000 miles a second. 186,000 miles a second. You multiply that out for one light year. And then that goes into 100,000 light years. That's what it is from one side of the Milky Way galaxy to the other. That's how big it is. And scientists have just found out recently that in their discovery with some of these super telescopes they have now, that we are just one of hundreds of billions of galaxies. The Milky Way galaxy. And you say, what does that mean to me? I'll tell you what it means. It means this. That very God that made all those things is your Savior.
Yes,
And I'm going to tell you, if he can take care of the Milky Way galaxy and hold the gravity in place and hold all of the universe that we can even see in his very fingertips, he can take care of whatever you're going to face next year and whatever you're going to face today. That's how big God is. And when Paul said, I believe God, that's not just simply something that we're trying to put it all on Paul, because we're not saying, well, you know, Paul, he had great belief in God. You know what? It's not the belief that matters. It's the God of the belief that matters. How am I doing? You know, some people say, well, you know, I don't have much faith, and neither do I. All you need is a grain of a mustard seed. But it's not the belief, it's the God that matters. Paul said, I believe God. And then that means, secondly, he trusts God. I know I can trust God. I know God will take care of everything. He takes care of my life. I can trust him. That's why Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, Solomon said, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Trust. I just trust God. Why? Because I believe God, and I know I can trust him. I can believe his word. I believe what he says, and I believe that based on what God has done in my past life. I mean, I'm so excited to be a Christian today. I'm so glad that God one day saved me and changed my life. Amen. I'm glad there was a time in my life when somebody cared enough to tell me about Jesus and I received Christ. It made all the difference. And so we talk about trusting God. We're not talking about just simply some, okay, well, I just trust him. No, we're saying, man, we put our reliance on him. But then Paul thirdly said there's a confidence in God. I have confidence in God. I know God will take care of it. Now, all of this is all woven together, belief, trust, and confidence. The power of God gave him confidence. He knew that in his past victory and in the future, he could say, God, I know you're going to take care of it, and I know God will. And I believe that God can take care of Calvary Baptist Church, and God can take care of your family too, and your life, and you're part of that. In fact, I like what Paul says. He says it like this. He says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I love that verse. Man, I'm confident that God is going to work it out, that God's going to take care of it. And Paul said, I'm confident. I know God can take care of it. And I believe that Paul wrote that, and I believe that Paul is saying he wants us to realize how big God is. Young people, I don't know what your future is going to be. Mom, Dad, I don't know what next year is going to behold. Retired person, I don't know what God's got for you. We're being told now we're hitting the fiscal cliff. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that's going to be like. Analysts are telling us that next year could be a disastrous year. Could be pretty bad. Our taxes are going to go up. Food's going to be more expensive. We could be facing $8 a gallon for milk. It's going to be a rough year, they tell us. And so they're looking at trying to figure out what in the world to do, where we're going to get all the answers, and can we get it figured out? Can the government figure it out? Let me tell you something. God's already got it figured out. Let me help you with something. You can trust God. You can trust him. When you cease to trust God, you're going to begin to have problems. I don't know what's going to be next year, neither do you, but I tell you this, no doubt about it, you can claim the promises of God and consecrate yourself to the plan of God, and then you can cleave to his power, and he'll carry you through next year. Just a challenge for you this year. Decide right now. God, you're first. God, I want this year to count. Let me ask you this. Two more questions and then I'll close. Here's my first question. What is 2013 going to bring for you spiritually? What are you going to do differently than you did in 2012? Or is it just going to be another 2012 repeated all over again? And like 2011, like 2010, like 2009, and so on and so forth. Are you just going to keep on the same, like the proverbial hamster in the just keep going around and around the same way over and over again? Or are you going to decide to make next year a new year for you? Is next year going to be something different? Is next year going to be the year that you just decide that God's going to be first place? And here's my question. If not next year, then when? If not today, then when? If you decide that you're just going to push God away and I don't need Christ, I don't want to get saved, then when are you going to trust Christ? What is holding you back? What's holding you back from joining Calvary Baptist Church or getting baptized or whatever it is that God's speaking your heart about, or maybe a couple's coming together, or perhaps maybe children making some decisions to do something for God, or maybe some teenagers submitting to the will of God? What is it going to take? And what God says is he challenges us anew just to decide to look forward for him. Heavenly Father,